Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
And welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Hey, welcome back to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers in studio. Of course, we got Ron at the board who's keeping the wheels on the bus.
Is he?
Well...
Is he?
He tries.
I was letting the air out of one of the tires earlier and making sure it was okay.
Okay. Well, he does his best. He, considering what he has to work with, he does his best.
Well, that's... Yeah.
So, anyway, Ron makes the magic happen.
This is magic? Oh, boy. Folks, you are in a lot of trouble if this is magic.
Well, yeah.
We have a briefing
we
coming
do.
Up.
We do. Yeah,
it's going to be here before you know it. How does that happen, buddy? Every year it just flies by and it's on us.
I guess I better prepare my message, huh?
Yeah, that might be a good idea. If you're speaking, Vanderhart, it might be a good idea to put some text together. Just
possibly.
Saying.
Possibly. Yeah. Yeah, that way. I shouldn't wing it like the Donald does, debates.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that, aren't we? Not with respect to him, but we're going to talk about some debates today, aren't we?
We are, yeah. Oh, well, we have a very special guest on the line.
Speaking of the briefing.
Yeah, Mike Ahmed is going to be a keynote speaker at our briefing coming up on October 15th. That's next Saturday from 10 to 4. Go to ctbriefing2016.com. Online registration's open till October 13th. At 6 o'clock, so I would not wait till the evening to register. Well, you could still walk. You could still do a walk-in registration, but we can't guarantee a lunch. Yeah, if you do that.
And listen, you don't want to miss out on that lunch. We got Smokey D's barbecue, so you want to get that pre-registration done on time.
Absolutely. So, Mike is a former Muslim. He was born in near Cairo. I'm sure he'll correct me if I'm wrong about that. But
and you're never wrong.
Okay.
Anyway,
he came to faith in Christ when he moved to California, and now serves as a missionary. He still lives stateside, but he goes to Egypt every once in a while, helps plant churches and encourage believers.
Fantastic.
So welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, Mike.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad to be here. And by the way, you were wrong.
I was wrong.
Straight off the bat.
Okay. So where were you born?
You were wrong. I was born and raised in Cairo, in Heliopolis. And it's a small town of 21 million people.
Okay. Small town.
To give you a picture, it's 100,000 per square mile. That's how congested it is.
Wow.
You are kidding me. Wow.
No.
So what was it like to, first of all, be, to live in Cairo, to live in that Egypt before Anwar Sadat was assassinated? Because I know things changed after that a little bit. And what was it like to also grow up and live in a Muslim household?
Well, it's completely different than what it is now and what you hear on the media. Egypt, in all reality, I mean, it was, a history lesson. I mean, Egypt was not always a Muslim country. It became a Muslim country after the occupation of the Ottoman Empire, and the English was their ally, and they made So they made it the national religion for the country. But the country itself, lived very much. Prior to the 80s, you will think that was just Las Vegas. I mean, people dress normal, people, entertain, and a lot of entertainment around. And it was basically called the Paris of the Middle East.
Hmm.
So it was kind of a westernized culture at that time?
Oh, yeah. Yep. And it just, after the Khomeini came in the office and for Egypt, that we basically protected the Shah of Iran, and then terrorism started infiltrating into the country. And it just, you know, the next presidents have kind of kept the Muslim Brotherhood off of the picture as long as they can, until Morsi came into office. And really, the fanatic Islam start infiltrating there. The people themselves are not, in all reality, fanatics. You know, I would call the most Egyptians, they practice the Islam in a very moderate way, as we say here, you know, for the Christian, moderate Christian or I don't know.
A nominal Christian or a nominal Muslim?
Yes. So I didn't grow up hearing any of that stuff,
right.
Like I said, until after 79, and this is when you start hearing the fanaticism about Islam. But I've never had the brainwash that they put on all the time, all these readings out loud and the call to prayers. You can hear the calls of prayers. It depends where you live. The suburb I lived in, it was not. You don't hear much of it at all.
And there's still is there still a significant Coptic Christian population in Egypt, or is that diminished?
Well, it's never been as significant. I mean, it's always held about 8% of the population, about eight. The most 8% of the populations, and again, those who were born into the Coptic faith. I had a lot of friends that were Christians. We never had any issues with each other. Again, all of this the stuff that you hear in the media is also new to Egypt as well. You know, coming in and prosecuting Christians and. That's all a movement of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Okay, so basically, just growing up a Muslim, what would be some differences between what you experienced compared to what I maybe experienced I was actually not a Christian until I was in college, but a typical Christian household. What are some differences?
And Mike, can you preface those remarks by telling us also if you consider yourself, if you considered yourself at the time, a devout Muslim?
I wasn't until a certain things that I have faced in life. Such as, you know, the experience I had a near-death experience that actually made me sought after God, and that's when I became more devout and studied more, a lot more on the history and different things. But the difference in my devotion and the difference of a lot of Muslims' devotions is a lot of the new Muslims' devotions or the fanatics, they don't really read the Quran. They just hear what the imam got to say or read a commentary or a book. And a lot of those teachings are false teachings, but it creates fanaticism and it turns people crazy. Because it gives them a false hope. Basically, you have no hope at all, and your hope is sacrificing your life to Allah. And so, and those are all false readings. Again, when I turned on to more to be more devout, I read the Quran, and as I see there was. It's just like you read the Bible. I mean, we do have books in the Bible, requires bloodshed and sacrifice and all kind of stuff. But that's the stuff we were not taught to read at all. Those parts were not parts that held a lot of weight, just like what we do with the Bible here.
You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have Mike Ahmed. Mike, I just wanted to know, basically, your journey from becoming being a Muslim to turning to Christ. Could you kind of flesh that out for us?
It's again, like I said, in my early 20s, I devoted myself to know more about God. After a near-death experience, and then in 1981, I was invited to be seated with President Anwar Sadat as a guest because he's a friend of family, and my uncle was the military general that has put the military display in the show that he to honor President Anwar Sadat and the peace with Egypt and Israel. And then he was assassinated. I was prevented from entering the display, and I knew where I would be seated very close. And most people that were seated close to him got killed, and a lot were wounded because of that assassination. And that made me question, how can Islam demand this as a people, where they're killing somebody that is basically after peace in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And it upset me. And as I continued, and I came to California after that because I knew things were not going to be the same. I thought, you know, I'm just going to throw it all out the window. I really don't want to know any religion in my life. And then I was invited to a home Bible study, and that's where I met Christ. It was an intervention on his part, and he entered my life, and I became Christian and sought after the faith, and I went to Bible school and studied more. And that's when I actually began to know a lot more about those nonsense teachings of the Islam. And my passion was to educate even the Muslims themselves against those false teachings that demanded the shed of their own blood and the innocent blood around them.
Yeah, so when you have an opportunity to talk to a Muslim, how do you open up the conversation to Christ?
Basically, the main thing is you show them that you love them. I mean, you show that you have received Christ and that you walk in love and harmony with all humanity is the main call to things. And if you wanted to enter into a theological debate or conversation with them, you need to go through the Quran.
Right.
Because the parts that were introduced to them, there is parts over there that's just completely emphasize that Christ is the Savior, not Muhammad.
What would be some verses from the Quran that would point to Christ?
I will have that written down for you when I come. To
oh,
the
sure.
Season, and we'll.
Didn't
we'll
mean to put you on the spot.
Lot.
Sorry.
No, that's quite all right. I'm just pacing outside. I'm at work, and kind of escaping everybody's demanding off of me, so I can bring my notes with me, and I can't recall them off the top of my head.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'll have these. But I mean, one of the main things, Shane, is the Quran is the only book that speaks of Maryam, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and honored her. A whole book is written about her. And another book about the family of Jesus, and that they testified that she was a virgin, and there is other parts testifies that the deity of Christ, and so when you go through the main parts that they say it's in the Quran, and they surprise themselves when you bring those two books into the conversation about Mary and about Jesus and the deity of Christ.
And how is that subject received generally amongst Muslims? It's my understanding that that they don't mind talking about Christ, but once you start asserting the notion of Christ being himself God, then
they will turn on you when you do that. I totally agree, but I mean, again, you gotta use a strategy concerning asking the question. They
say, sure.
Well, this is in Surah such and such, which is, you know, verse and chapter. It says that that Christ, when he was a little boy, did some miracle. He gave a life to a bird. He made it from the dirt and it became alive. And it was testified right there in the Quran. What would you say to that? Some of them will answer it as, oh, okay, he was a prophet, so therefore every prophet have to be validated by miracles.
Mm-hmm.
If they had any miracles. And then you come again as in some part and you say, well, okay, over here he healed the sick. He cast out demons. Another word for him was used in the Quran, translates the word creator.
Yeah.
What would you say to that? And a lot of them, if they're devout, I had debates with imams and different things, and they become angry. They want to answer those parts.
Yeah, they become resistant. And we're almost out of time.
Yes.
I told you go fast.
Yes.
And you can learn more about this if you go to the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing next Saturday. Again, you can register at ctbriefing2016.com. Mike, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Mike.
We'll have to have you back on. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Christianity is under attack from the LGBT movement, Planned Parenthood, and even Islam.
As the church intersects with culture and society, we want to prepare you to be able to respond to a culture that is often hostile to the Christian faith.
So 99.3 is partnered with Caffeinated Thoughts Radio to assemble an event unlike any other.
At this worldview conference, we want to prepare students and adults to effectively engage the hostile culture we face every day.
I'd like to encourage you to attend the third annual Caffeinated Thoughts briefing on Saturday, October 15th.
So come to the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing and hear from experts such as Dr. Calvin Beisner, Dr. Robert Gagnon, Mike Ahmed, and Sue Thayer.
Register today. Go to ctbriefing2016.com. That's ctbriefing2016.com.
I hope to see you at the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing on October 15th, brought to you by American Principles Project,
Providence Industrial Electronics Repair,
The Mission Cup,
and The Truth, 99.3.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
So, we had a debate on Monday. I didn't actually get to watch it live. I was traveling back from Wisconsin. I tried to withhold judgment and tried to not read anything.
I watched it live, buddy. Didn't miss anything.
Before I actually watched. Oh, I didn't want anybody else's commentary to color what I thought. Basically, I wanted to look at it with fresh eyes without any preconceived ideas of how it went. My first impression was, I think both major parties have been better off if these gentlemen were at the top of the ticket compared to what we currently have.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
It's clearly true in one instance in particular.
Well, you know, for people who, okay, I made this argument with somebody on Facebook because they said something similar. Well, definitely with Mike Pence, but what about Tim Kaine? Well, okay, if you believe in, you know, lesser of two evils argument, which would you rather?
Shane, I hate that. I know. Anyway,
I know. I'm just saying, because it was somebody who actually believes in that, so I was kind of throwing it back at him. So who would you say is better to have a 50% chance of winning the presidency, Hillary Clinton or Tim Kaine?
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And frankly, if we were to have a Democrat win, I would personally much rather have Tim Kaine be president than Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
I don't support a thing, but he seems to be probably a little closer to center than she is.
But irrespective of that, you have at least some confidence that what he says might actually not be a lie. And I have no confidence when Mrs. Clinton speaks that she's being truthful about anything.
Right. In terms of character, I think, you know, I've been able to see, he's a good family man.
But let me make this observation, having watched that nightmare the other night. I thought that the most obnoxious, disgusting debate performance I'd ever seen was Joe Biden against Paul Ryan in the last election cycle.
That just seems so uneventful.
Uncle Joe constantly interrupted Paul Ryan, wouldn't allow him to finish sentences. When he wasn't interrupting him, he was sitting over there with that stupid Cheshire cat grin.
Right.
It'd just make you want to barf. It was awful. And he couldn't put together two sentences. He'd interrupt himself. It was absolutely awful.
It was, yeah.
And I got a sense the other night that Tim Kaine was working to lower the bar even further.
And that was going to be another observation. It's like, I know Pence interrupted a little bit too, and there was some crosstalk, but I think most objective people would say that Tim Kaine was a little over the top with his interrupting. So much so, the moderator, I can't remember her name, had to say, you know, kind of try to stop him on a couple of different occasions. So that was bad. Another observation is that it is quite obvious that Governor Pence actually prepared for this debate compared to what Donald Trump did.
He did.
Which I think that's going to, it puts pressure on Donald Trump. Whether he actually will respond to the pressure positively or not, remain to be seen. I read an article in Politico. I don't have it in front of me. That seems to be not the case, because it seems like he's doubling down on the non-preparedness, because that worked so well for him the first debate.
Well, you know, arguably he's got nowhere to go but up.
Right. Well, yeah, his debate preparation was to hold a town hall where it was moderated by a pro-Trump guy who threw softball questions at him, and they didn't even keep track of time. So, yeah, that's going to be what it's like when he actually debates Hillary Clinton again. But anyway, Mike Pence, credit to him, he came prepared. He came prepared to point out problems with Kaine's record as governor of Virginia. I was pretty impressed by that. When Kaine was talking about, well, even the Israelis supported, so they point out that the Iran nuclear deals actually ended, you know, their mm-hmm. nuclear program.
Right.
And he retorted back, "You boycotted Netanyahu's speech, right?"
was that a perfect moment?
Yeah, that was great.
And, you know, he always seems so cool, so calm, so collected.
Definitely.
So in charge of the moment. He was very impressive.
And when Kaine was throwing stuff at him, he wouldn't get upset. He'd just smile.
Yep.
So well done. Both men were pretty bad at actually defending the top of the ticket.
This is true.
So
both of them had their lipsticks out, you know, trying to put that on the pigs, you
right,
know.
Right. So and I would also say that as far as criticism, I actually think Pence probably landed more punches on against Clinton than vice versa. Mainly not because of what Kane said wasn't true or accurate. Mainly is just it's already been hammered on in the media a lot.
And I do think as well, and this, forgive me, I'm not defending Donald Trump here because I fully agree the guy goes off half-cocked and says crazy stuff on occasion. But there were some things that Kane was suggesting that, how would you say it, the construction of Trump's remarks were, shall we say, less than charitable.
Right.
And there's a lack of accuracy sometimes when you paint with a brush that's quite that broad.
Right.
So anyway, and Pence nailed him on that a couple of times, I think.
Anyway, you're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we're talking about the vice presidential debate, and we have a few clips we're going to play for you. Now we've got half of our segment left. Let's play clip one. It's a short one. Pence says, Kane is a very fitting running mate for Hillary Clinton.
I think he's a very fitting running mate for Hillary Clinton. Because in the wake of a season where American families are struggling in this economy, under the weight of higher taxes and Obamacare and the war on coal and the stifling avalanche of regulation coming out of this administration, Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine want more of the same. It really is remarkable that they actually are advocating $1 trillion in tax increases, which I get that. You tried to raise taxes here in Virginia and were unsuccessful. But $1 trillion in tax increases, more regulation, more of the same war on coal, and more of Obamacare that now even former President Bill Clinton calls Obamacare a crazy plan. But Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine want to build on Obamacare. They want to expand it into a single-payer program. And for all the world, Hillary Clinton just thinks Obamacare is a good start. Look, Donald Trump and I have a plan to get this economy moving again.
That was a good segment.
That was excellent.
I think that was a good start. Kaine also had a parry because he asked, how does Pence defend an insult-driven campaign? Well,
yep.
It's kind of hard to.
Yep.
Anyway, go ahead and play clip two.
Donald Trump always puts himself first. He built a business career, in the words of one of his own campaign staffers, off the backs of the little guy. And as a candidate, he started his campaign with a speech where he called Mexicans rapists and criminals. And he has pursued the discredited and really outrageous lie that President Obama wasn't born in the United States. It is so painful to suggest that we go back to think about these days where an African American could not be a citizen of the United States. And I can't imagine how Governor Pence can defend the insult-driven, selfish, me-first style of Donald Trump.
See, right there was just what I was talking about. Did you catch what he said there? He says Donald Trump called Mexicans rapists and killers. Rapists and, what was it?
Criminals?
Criminals, yeah.
Now,
that's not accurate.
That's not accurate.
Right.
Now, you can draw your own inferences if you like. But that's not an accurate statement.
He was talking about Mexican illegal immigrants.
Well, yeah. And he didn't say all of them.
Right.
He made that clear.
Yeah.
He didn't.
And Pence came back actually with, he countered with the actual full context of the quote. Yeah. And we're not defending, like you pointed out, we're not defending Trump's statement on that. But if you're going to criticize it, at least be truthful about it.
Yep, it accurate.
I want to make sure we have time to listen to this exchange they had on abortion before we run out of time. This is a little bit longer clip, a minute 45.
Which clip is it?
11, I'm sorry. Okay. Clip 11.
I think you should live your moral values, but the last thing, the very last thing that government should do is have laws that would punish women who make reproductive choices. And that is the fundamental difference between a Clinton-Kaine ticket and a Trump-Pence ticket that wants to punish women who make choices.
It's really not. Donald Trump and I would never support legislation that punished
women who made the heartbreaking choice to end a pregnancy.
And why did Donald Trump say that?
We just never would.
Why did he say that?
Well, look, look, he's not a polished politician like you and Hillary Clinton.
When Donald Trump says women should be punished, or Mexicans are rapists and criminals,
I'm telling
or John McCain's not a hero, he is showing you who he is.
Senator, you whipped out that Mexican thing again. Let's welcome the children into our world. There are so many families around the country who can't have children. We could improve adoption so that families that can't have children can adopt more readily those children.
Why don't you trust women to make this choice for themselves? We can encourage people to support life. Of course we can. But why don't you trust women? Why doesn't Donald Trump trust women to make this choice for themselves? That's what we ought to be doing in public life, living our lives of faith or motivation with enthusiasm and excitement, convincing each other, dialoguing with each other about important moral issues of the day.
Because
on fundamental issues of morality,
because
we should let women make their own decisions.
Because a society can be judged by how it deals with its most vulnerable, the aged, the infirm, the disabled, and the unborn. I believe it with all my heart, and I couldn't be more proud to be standing with a pro-life candidate in Donald Trump.
I don't quite agree with his last statement as far as pro-life candidate Donald Trump.
I don't think we have any idea where Donald Trump really is on this issue.
I know where Mike Pence is on this issue.
Mike Pence is.
And I thought that was Governor Pence offered a pretty strong defense for life.
And I'll tell you something else we know, is we know Tim Kaine has a view that I'm so angry when I hear somebody say things like that.
Yeah. Just for instance, okay, we wouldn't say, let's just trust the mother to decide what's best if this is a toddler or a preschool student or a adolescent, because this is the mother shouldn't get to choose death of the child. She shouldn't. We wouldn't allow that any other context except for when this baby has not yet been born. And it's just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
I think the framers would be rolling in their grave if they knew people didn't think that the right to life didn't apply to the unborn.
What he said there, it made me mad the other night. It made me mad again just listening to it now. It got my blood pressure up so much I can't hardly string two words together. But I tell you what, that is absolutely dreadful thought process there. Absolutely dreadful.
Absolutely.
Let women make the decision to slaughter the unborn. What is the matter with this man?
Well, there's a fundamental disconnect.
Sir, morally, you are bankrupt, sir.
Well, and here's the thing, folks. You can have a personal faith, but your faith can never be private. Okay? There's a disconnect if your faith does not impact how you view public policy. And we're not talking about a theocracy. We're just talking about things like, not murdering innocent lives here. Okay. I think most people can agree that, if you take out the stage of life, we should not murder. Correct? Yes.
Well,
it shouldn't matter whether that life is unborn or born.
And that's just it, Shane. Where this guy is going, that's the next step. It's going to be a personal decision for this woman and her physician once that child is born. Not only viable, born outside of the womb, and it's still going to be left up to these women one day, whether or not that child lives or dies.
You already have euthanasia going on in Europe.
Stunning wickedness.
We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need.
Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give them a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org.
And now we've come to the section of our show, the segment of our show, I should say, that we affectionately refer to as
News You Can Use.
Now, you've kind of, your blood pressure's down now after segment? Yeah. Okay, all right. I wanted to make sure you're good to go.
I'm fine.
Okay.
Okay, first up, this is from The Hill. A group of 30 former GOP lawmakers signed a blistering open letter to Republicans on Thursday warning that Donald Trump lacks the intelligence and temperament to be president and urging the party to reject the Republican presidential nominee at the polls on November 8th. The group includes former committee chairmen, lawmakers from swing states, one of the first openly gay members of Congress, and one member who led investigations on Capitol Hill into scandals involving the Clintons. Our party's nominee this year is a man who makes a mockery of the principles and values we have cherished and which we sought to represent in Congress, the group said in a statement. Given the enormous power of the office, every candidate for president must be judged rigorously in assessing whether he or she has the competence, intelligence, knowledge, understanding, empathy, judgment, and temperament necessary to keep America on a safe and steady course. The letter continues. Donald Trump fails on each of those measures. Really? And he has proven himself manifestly unqualified to be president. What do you think about that, Shane?
Well, I think a lot of these people are going to end up voting for Hillary Clinton, which... I'm like, you can say a lot of what they said about Donald Trump and apply it to her as well. It'd be a little more, I think there'd be more credible if they'd actually, and I agree with them.
I do
Donald
too.
Trump, and I can't vote for him, but I can't vote for Hillary either. And no. I like them to say, we're voting third party. We're not going to vote for Hillary Clinton either.
Well, that's what I don't understand. We've got people out there that are highly critical. I mean, these are people that have been lifelong members of the GOP or what have you, and they're highly critical of Donald Trump. Fine. But they're saying that some of them, at least, are saying they're going to vote for Hillary Clinton. Are you kidding me? So we look at hard left political ideology and a woman that you can't trust,
right?
With 2 cents.
Well, one of the signers is,
why would you do that?
One of the signers is former Congressman Jim Leach, who was basically a Democrat in Republican clothing when he basically represented the second congressional district before
over in Eastern Iowa.
Yeah,
right?
Before Lobsec defeated him. So, yeah, he was one guy I didn't cry over any tears over him getting booted from Congress.
Well, in any case, this sort of thing, you know, is just a tragedy for our party. You know, where you've got guys pointing out the deficiencies of our candidate, and again, that's fine, but then they're going to. They're going to put support behind Hillary Clinton. I know not all these guys said that.
But yeah, I would say probably I would not be shocked if Jim Leach does. I think he's actually supported Obama in the past, if I remember correctly.
All right, next up from USA Today. This election has sparked some heated exchanges between family, friends, and coworkers, and now between Fox News hosts. Conservative pundit Sean Hannity leveled what he might consider the worst insult imaginable at anchor Megyn Kelly in a tweet on Wednesday night, saying she clearly supports Hillary Clinton. The tweet was apparently in response to Kelly's earlier comments in the evening on The Kelly File, when she accused both presidential candidates of avoiding tough interviews. They're both in their own version of a presidential protection program, Kelly said. She said Clinton makes sure she is not in a place where she feels uncomfortable or anything unexpected would come at her, which is why she sat for half an hour with Mary J. Blige, the singer, which is why she did Entertainment Tonight this evening. But Kelly didn't stop there. And Donald Trump, with all due respect to my friend at 10 o'clock, will go on Hannity and pretty much only Hannity and will not venture out to the unsafe spaces these days, which doesn't exactly extend the tent.
And she's absolutely correct. And
she
here's
is.
The difference between Sean Hannity and Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly will register an opinion, but she's more of a journalist.
She is.
Hannity's nothing but a pundit, and ever since the primaries has been nothing, even during the primaries, has been nothing but a Trump shill.
Yeah.
So I can't take Hannity seriously anymore.
Well, and here's the thing. Kelly, it struck me that Kelly's criticism was even-handed.
I think so.
It went both ways.
Right.
And so I'm at a loss to know why all of a sudden Sean Hannity says that Megyn Kelly is going to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Oh, because she criticized him.
Well, whatever.
But it's like, well, if you don't
I'm not voting for her, and I criticize the guy frequently. All right.
Well, it's like, yeah, exactly. Well, that's just it. I mean, you know, he thinks anybody who's not supporting Trump supports Clinton, and I have no idea how Megyn Kelly's going to vote. I really don't. She doesn't talk about it. Again, because she's a journalist.
you remember the I think you were there when we were talking to Don Gagne from NPR. Remember one of the things that he said, and I knew this ahead of time because I'd listened to Don for so many years, but he said, "I try to stay out of the story." That is a journalist.
Well, Megyn Kelly doesn't exactly do that real well either, but
well, certainly better than Sean Hannity.
Yeah,
All right. Next up, Fox News. Professional clowns are getting fed up with the recent reports of frightening incidents across the U.S. that has put many communities on high alert and tarnished the image of the performers. The clown community.
I didn't really.
There's a community, right?
Apparently.
The clown community in Tucson, Arizona.
This could have gone to our fourth segment. I was debating that when I was doing show prep.
They've organized Clown Lives Matter and a Clown Lives Matter March on Wednesday that's set to take place October 15th in reaction to the reports of killer clowns terrorizing communities.
Hey, learn how this went out. After the Caffeinate Thoughts briefing, if you want to learn more about the story, Google it after the Caffeinate Thoughts briefing, by the way.
The station reported that attendees are invited to participate in full clown makeup or masks. This is a peaceful way to show clowns are not psycho killers.
I think there's got to be... If you dress up like a clown, I'm thinking there's still not something right with you.
We want the public to feel safe and not be afraid. So come out, bring the family, meet a clown, get a hug.
Oh,
there you go.
Okay. No clown is hugging me. That just get a hug. Okay.
All of you clowns that are listening out there, give Shane a hug.
What kind of a creep says, I want to give it, come here, give me a hug. I'm going to give you a hug.
Shane wants a hug, clowns.
I'm like, no clown is violating my personal space.
There you go.
Darn it.
I'd like to see, I would like to be there when they show up because I'm sure they're going to drive, there'll be just one Volkswagen Beetle that'll show up and 50 of them will get out of the Beetle.
Well, see, that in itself is creepy.
They're good at that, though.
That's fun.
That's called
clown cars.
Efficient transportation.
It's still creepy.
Efficient transportation. Oh, we'll try to squeeze this last one in from Politico. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are at risk of being elbowed out of the news cycle by a powerful hurricane churning toward the southeast coast.
For Donald Trump, this would probably be good news.
And these are two of their most important battleground states, Florida and North Carolina. But the Clinton camp is refusing to be completely shut out of the conversation. Her team is buying airtime on the Weather Channel in a slew of major Florida media markets. Clinton is seeking to appeal directly to swing state voters, potentially in the path of Hurricane Matthew.
Vote early.
And will spend $63,000 to reach Weather Channel viewers.
Wow.
And she can blame all this on global warming.
Yeah. Never let a crisis go to waste, right?
Perfect.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Sorry to disappoint you, folks. We'll be back. Put me on the cover of the Rolling Stone, Uptown,
down home, American Kids. That middle-of-the-night phone call is taking its toll on you. You thought that the days of your kids interrupting your sleep were long gone. But now it's the predicaments of your grown children that are keeping you awake. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Parenting adult children can be draining. You have invested two intense decades into that kid, and you don't want to see it all go for naught. Well, consider these thoughts. As a parent, you're responsible for the process, not the product. Each person makes their own decision regarding Christ. God has no grandchildren, only children. Also, loosen that emotional tether. Let out the slack that ties their decisions to you, and you avoid the whiplash effect. Realistically, very little of what they do is actually because of you. If you need help working with an adult child, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or visit us online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
And we're the home stretch. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Hey, we brought it up the first segment, but I'll bring it up again. We've got the Caffeinated Thoughts Briefing. That's a Christian worldview conference for students and adults that will be held on Saturday, October 15th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Johnston at the Johnston Lions Club. Go to ctbriefing.com. And for our Caffeinated Thoughts Radio listeners, if you enter promo code COFFEE, okay, coffee, you get 20% off the registration charge.
Hey, Ron, what's that code?
That's coffee. So CT Briefing.
Hey, one more time.
2016.com. Use promo code
coffee.
Yes. So anyway, this is going to be, I'm excited for this conference. We've got a lot of great speakers. Sue Thayer is going to be, she's a former Planned Parenthood clinic manager.
We've had her on the radio.
We've actually had all of our guests on the radio at one point in time. You listened to Mike Ahmed in the first segment. He's going to be speaking. Dr. Robert Gagnon, who was on our show last week, will be speaking. Dr. Cal Beisner, who's been on our show several times.
Our old friend.
Yeah.
Friend of the show.
He's going to be speaking as well. So, come on out. This is going to be content packed. Not only that, the difference between this kind of a conference and others that you may have gone to is it's smaller. We give you an opportunity to actually interact with the speakers. There's going to be panel discussions, but they're all going to be around for lunch. You get a chat with them. And lunch is brought to us by Smokey D's.
Speaking of lunch.
You don't want to miss that. Smokey D's Barbecue.
And what do you got to do to get that?
Yeah, you go to ctbriefing2016.com, enter promo code coffee. 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 Make sure you spell it right.
And you got to have it done by when to get lunch?
Yeah, you got to have it. Online registration ends at 6 p.m. on October 13th. At 6 p.m. on October 13th, you can do walk-up registration, but we can't guarantee a lunch. You got to register online to be guaranteed lunch.
And now we've come to Shane's favorite part of the show. We're about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Yet, you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up.
This one's from UPI. An online campaign to get Drake to visit Iowa's Drake University proved successful. But only one student was awake to meet the rapper. That is the rapper, Drake.
Drake.
It's good to know because I'm sure no idea who Drake was, right?
I'm sure a lot of our listeners listen to him.
Students at the Des Moines College posted hashtag bring Drake to Drake on social media ahead of Drake's Tuesday night concert at Wells Fargo Arena. And the musician was presented during his concert with a custom-made Drake University Letterman jacket. The students woke up Wednesday to discover Drake had indeed visited the campus on his way out of town. But it was 2:30 a.m., and only a single student encountered the star. They missed it, and I felt so bad for them, junior Ben Scott, the lone fan to meet Drake, told WHO-TV. I think I was the only one that actually saw him and spoke to him, which was phenomenal. I can't believe it happened.
Drake rang the doorbell at two sorority houses, but no one was awake.
Sorority houses.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
Scott, who had attended Drake's concert earlier in the evening, spotted the rapper from across the street. We really just had a brief conversation. Hey, do you think anybody's awake?
No, it's 2:30 in the morning.
At 2:30 in the morning, probably you'd think the sorority house would have plenty of people still awake.
He should have gone to a fraternity. They'd probably been have somebody there, too.
Yeah, it could be. Drake ended up leaving after snapping an Instagram photo with the school's sign, a picture that is already becoming iconic. At the college.
They actually painted footprints on top of the sign so people can try to recreate the image.
Oh, dear. Send your You Can't Make This Stuff Up ideas to story@caffeinatedthoughts.com. We'll give you the credit or the blame if we use your suggestion on the show. This blame goes to Shane.
You're very welcome. See you next week, everybody.
Take care, everybody.
Thanks for listening.